Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Breakaway Tuition Podcast. I really hope that you enjoyed my chat last week with Charlotte Pointo. It was such a wonderful conversation to have surrounding our tween and teen girls and their menses. And the first moon circles is something that I really wish was around and available when I was growing up. This week's episode, though, is completely different gear. And it's all about math and literacy. You know, a lot of the times we view these topics as things that are different and not related to each other, but it is the codependency that literacy has on mathematics and vice versa that occasionally is the point of contention for students who struggle with math. So, really excited to bring this episode to you, and let's dive in. Okay, so maths and literacy. Well, I'm going to make it really clear from the beginning. I am not a math teacher. I'm an English and a history teacher. But I have completed university level courses for mathematics. I work extensively with a lot of our tutoring students on mathematics, and I have had extensive conversations with experienced mathematical educators here at Breakaway Tuition. But how these things actually interact. And so I come from it from two points of view. So I come from it from, probably not just two. I come from it from experience for myself personally when I was growing up and I struggled with mathematics. I come from it as a teacher point of view and a teacher of English. I come from it as somebody who has done extensive work on reading and literacy as well, not just like the English side, but reading literacy, decoding, understanding, comprehending for primary school as well as high school. And then I come from it in the perspective of what I have seen of our students in tutoring sessions, not just primary school, but high school students as well. Now, a few things that I've come across about mathematics that are particularly interesting. And the first one's confidence, and that confidence holds our students back a lot of the time when they're completing math tasks. Now, this idea of confidence is really interesting because it is backed by current research as well, and there are so many bodies of research being done and so many studies that have been completed that actually indicate that when that confidence is boosted, then children start enjoying mathematics and in turn increase their results and understanding of maths. That's an episode for a whole other day, but we do see it often in our tutoring centre, and we do see it occur like numerous times. The second thing that I have found recently is that math and math competency can be passed down through our families, and that's not a genetic passing down of things, which again is interesting. It correlates with the confidence. It was written in a lot of papers, but the research is actually saying that as much as there are people that believe that you are either, you know, math orientated or not, that's not true. There's not a genetic link to mathematics, but there is a link in terms of a parent struggling with math and then creating an idea that, well, because the parent struggled with math, then that's the reason why my child struggles with math, which is not always the case. And so that's, again, another conversation for another day, but particularly interesting. But the third thing with math is that math and literacy go hand in hand. If you are not working on the mathematical literacy involved in mathematics, then you're going to find it really difficult to build that confidence in maths, and this is what today's discussion is all about. And it's not a hugely long conversation, it's just getting you to think about, well, when and at what point did my students start struggling at maths, or when and at what point did I start struggling with maths, and what things then can I do at home, or what things can be done in even a classroom setting to help bridge this gap between maths and literacy. So I think it was 2012 when they originally changed the curriculum and took it just from NESA to ACARA, which is the Australian curriculum, which is what was supposed to happen. Again, it's another conversation for another day that really frustrates me. But in the very last revision of the curriculum, where we were supposed to be shifting towards a more national curriculum view, there was a whole thing that came forward about making sure that cross-curricular, so cross-curricular being within or across different curriculum groups. So if I'm doing geography, then I need to teach maths and literacy, or numeracy and literacy. If I'm doing science, I need to make sure I am teaching numeracy and literacy. If I'm teaching math, I need to make sure I'm doing numeracy and literacy. If I'm teaching English, I need to make sure I'm doing numeracy and literacy. So the cross-curriculum goals of numeracy and literacy were placed into that syllabus in 2012. Now, that meant that no matter what subject a student was doing, there should be really clear instruction on numeracy and literacy for that subject area. And the reason for that was so that it wasn't placed on one subject. So one common theme would be, well, I'm an English teacher, so I am leaving math for the math teacher. But obviously that created divides, and to build students' knowledge, there needed to be this cross-curricular idea. So that meant that from that point, there has been more of a focus of literacy in mathematics and how that works, rather than maths just being maths and literacy just being literacy. So sometimes, although we don't think the two belong together, it's actually embedded in the syllabus. But, you know, I think sometimes we still overlook those things and perhaps aren't putting enough focus on helping our students when they're doing mathematics to gain those literacy skills they need. So in formative and early learning years of math, you know, focuses a lot on concrete skills. So the concrete skill of counting, using counters or things that I can see to complete the counting. And it's that idea of concrete maths that we see, we can explain, and we don't need to be able to read and interpret questions in order to provide an answer. So we see a lot of students in formative and early years of schooling not struggling so much with the mathematics because it is concrete. You know, they count objects, they count counters, and I can touch those counters and I can move those counters, and when I touch or move it, that's one counter or one object, one animal or one thing. But when we take that away and we're asking students to read a question, even if it is the number two, the symbol plus, and the number two with the symbol of equals, now that is a literacy skill in symbol recognition and recognizing what those symbols are referring to. And that's sometimes where we start losing our students. Now, if we go from that, and you've got the number two, addition sign, the number two, and an equal sign, if I'm turning that into a word problem, and now I'm writing the word two, I'm writing addition as a word, or plus, or sum, I'm writing the number two, and the word equals, or all together, or how many, now we have an even complicated or more complicated view of literacy and students having to decode that literacy to gain the meaning to get the right question or get the right answer. So you can see how math and literacy work together. So like I said, when children are learning math from the beginning, you know, we're counting objects, we're counting animals, we're counting things, we can physically take one away or add three in, and we can see what that looks like in front of us. If I've got pictures in front of me and I count, I can physically count and point to the picture as I'm counting. I can take, I can scribble out, I can cross off a picture so that I can clearly see how many I have left. that's very concrete. It's very tangible, physically tangible. I can touch it, I can see it, and I can understand it. I'm not being asked to read the numbers. I'm not being asked to figure out what the plus symbol means or what the word plus means. I'm just being asked to do these things, and I can do them pretty quickly or pretty easily. So we move from that tangible idea of mathematics into something that is a bit more abstract. And, you know, it's obviously we progress, as students progress through the different strands of mathematics, we see that in different ways, but then we see it incorporated into problem solving. So going back to that tangible idea, even things like measurement, if we're getting a student to measure how long a table is with some rulers or with some pencils or with an object, that's still tangible. We're giving them the verbal instruction for them to carry out the task to find the answer. And so we see a lot of students engaging really well in the formative and early maths because that's tangible and easy for them to hold, to see and to understand. But like I said, when we start building on that and we start looking at the different strands and the students start, you know, moving into more abstract mathematics, and then this is where literacy and numeracy or literacy and math combine and go hand in hand. Now I'm going to stop there for a minute because I firstly just want you to think about what I've said for concrete mathematics and tangible and seeing and holding. And I mentioned earlier, you know, symbols. Now, symbols are visual literacy. If the student doesn't know that the plus sign is a plus sign, then they're going to struggle with that as well. And then when we add on the third layer and we're wanting students to know that addition plus how many altogether, those words mean plus or an addition sign, that's where we start getting into that more complicated view of mathematics, and that's where we start seeing students lose confidence and their mathematics skills going downhill because they're struggling to understand the visual literacy as well as the literacy, written literacy on the page. So you can hear from my voice that I'm very passionate about students understanding that visual literacy, the written literacy, and being able to put those things together. But, you know, like I said, for some students, when sometimes for visual literacy, that's when their mathematics starts going downhill. Sometimes for other students, it's when it gets to the written literacy that the mathematics and the struggle with math begins, and sometimes it never ends. Because like I said, we want our students to understand that add, plus, addition, how many altogether, all mean the same thing and all represent the same symbol. In the same way, we want them to understand that takeaway, subtract, subtraction, how many left, is all the minus symbol, or even minus as another term. And so we can already see, like, five terms for each thing, more than five terms, but that's just the beginning. If they are not relating each of those things together to represent the same symbol and mean the same idea, then they can't turn that into a formula with numbers to answer and provide a correct answer. And, you know, for some of our students, that is just the beginning, like I said. So it's the reading of the words that creates this struggle and this demise. And, you know, like I said, if you don't know what the word subtraction even looks like on the page then, let alone that it represents the symbol, then how can you answer that question? Now, think about it in terms of other terminology as well. What if I'm a struggling reader? So what if the mathematical terms on the page for me, well, I can't recognise them and put a symbol to them to begin with, but then I don't even know what the word three looks like on the page. And I'm not sure what the word people looks like on the page either, because I'm really struggling with reading. Then we have a whole other ball game happening at that level. So you can see that maths and literacy go hand in hand. And I think sometimes that is why we really need this cross-curricular happening in all areas, not just in primary school, but in high school. It is so important because we need to be getting our students the skills so that they can create the confidence or gain the confidence so that they can start to enjoy those things. And if we look at reading, again, reading is a skill that is multi-layered, and it's not just reading the words on the page, but it's also comprehending the information on the page as well, which is an additional huge task. But if we have a think about, you know, what is involved in reading the words, well, if a student does not know what the word is straight off, they can't recognise it straight away, then they need to phonetically segment the words. Now, to do that, they need to know what combinations of letters make what sound. Then they need to know all of those spelling rules as well. Oh, is there a silent E in there? Is there a G and a H together that I don't pronounce the way that I think that I would? So you've got all of those intricacies as well. And then after I pull the word apart, I have to put the word together again, and I have to blend all of the word together to make the word. Then, on top of that, I need to gather meaning for the word. I need to put that word into the context of the sentence, and that word's meaning might have changed if I have selected the wrong context in which I thought that word meant in the first place. So, and I think this is why I'm so passionate about literacy. It's why I'm so passionate about numeracy, and so passionate about teaching how these skills interlink together and what we can do to assist our students. So on top of that reading, and I've said it before, but when we add in our other mathematical specific words, so even words like measurement. If I don't know what a measurement is, well, first I need to be able to read measurement. I need to understand what the word means. Then I need to know that if I'm reading it in a maths question, then I'm looking for some type of measurement, centimetres, metres, millimetres. And then I need to know how to put that into the context. You know, it's the same as how long, how wide, divide, share, equal to. Now you can begin to see why some children, when they're faced with the task of reading a question to gather meaning, to then create an equation from it correctly, to then place the numbers in the correct order and provide the correct answer, it can be so challenging and overwhelming for them. Now imagine that you're in year 9, even 7, 8, 10, and not only do you still struggle with literacy, you pretty much hate reading because it creates too much anxiety. Then you're struggling to understand how to use a maths formula. And then when you're asked to practice real life examples, you're battling against the reading, you're battling against selecting the right formula to use, you're battling against doing the working out correctly and then providing the right answer, even selecting the right buttons on a calculator. You can see how that can be completely overwhelming. And probably it just feels easier not to even try and not to give it a go. And we see students come into the tutoring centre so often. And it's not that they don't know the formula or they don't know how to do the maths. It's they're struggling with the literacy component of maths, or, you know, perhaps they don't have the skills or haven't been taught those skills to make things easier for themselves. A lot of the time with some of my students, it is we go through with the highlighter and we highlight what is the most important information that we're being told. And then we translate that into the symbols. And then we translate the symbols into your equation. And you can see how the math is quite multi-layered and how it does rely heavily on literacy. So what can we do? How can we overcome this for our students? How can we help them with their confidence? And it's a question that is asked time and time and time and time again. And it's going to look different for every single student. But in tutoring sessions, it looks a lot like revision of terms. It looks a lot like popping our terms into a glossary list, putting them into some cards and doing match. We're matching the term with the symbol and then we're looking at some problem-solving questions, so it's all interlinking together. It's putting what the question is asking into actual formulas and equations and number examples with it. It looks a lot like I'm going to read you the question first and then I'm going to prompt you and I'm going to ask you what you think these words mean. And that might mean that I'm asking, what does subtract mean? What does subtract look like? What does equal to mean? Do we have a symbol for equal to? What does that symbol look like? It looks a lot like going over the words that are mathematically based and talking about if it's a symbol, what it looks like as a symbol on the page. If it's not a symbol, what does this word actually mean? So what is the question asking for us to do? What things am I thinking about in terms of the mathematical equation that I'm trying to complete? It looks a lot like reading and comprehending, translating the information to formulas and practicing. And you know, the thing with a lot of these skills is that it is practice and it looks like practice. It's repeatedly going over similar examples. It's underlining the words of importance. It's translating those words to symbols. It's writing the equation on a line. And that is what it looks like. How can you help at home? Well, it could be very, very similar. You could do similar things with your students and your children. You can create a glossary book. You could call it a recipe book or a reference book for your children. It has all of those bits in it. It has mathematical terms and what the symbol looks like. It has an equation with then a worded example and then how they do it. And it looks like doing it over and over again. You know, practice makes better. And that's what we need to continue to remind ourselves and our children of all of the time. As boring as practice can be, the only way we can get better at a skill is if we practice it. And when I think about all of the times that I struggled with mathematics myself, the way that I moved through that was practice. And I've said it before, it wasn't just practicing two questions and moving on. It was pages and pages and pages of practice. But you know what? I learnt and I can now do those skills. And it's going to be the same for our students that struggle. In the classroom, well, it looks quite similar as well. It looks like written vocabulary terms on the walls of your classroom. It looks like continually teaching our students what symbol goes with what word. It looks like matching the terms and the symbols together. It looks like teaching our students how to pull apart a question and what the questions are asking of us to do. And it looks like practice makes better as well. Sometimes in the classroom, there's not much time for that practice to occur. But for our students who are really struggling to improve, they need that time to synthesize their ideas and what that looks like and practice. They need that practice, and we need to make sure that we're giving them the space for that practice to occur so that we can then see that growth that occurs with that as well. The thing is with education is that there are so many things that I've mentioned above that people won't agree with. But we all know that every child is different and every child learns differently. And if your child is a child who needs that repetition, who needs the terms written down bit by bit, and who needs to see the terms, then that's what you need to do to help them. And as much as there is a movement away from rote learning or repetition of learning, of a skill or of an idea, it is still the way forward for so many individuals and students who struggle with anything. You know, it is the way forward for students with dyscalculia, which is a mathematical-based learning difficulty. For students with dyscalculia, they need tangible math. They need math concrete skills that they can see, and they need repetition and repetition and repetition so that that skill is able to be applied in different ways. A student with dyscalculia may struggle with the working memory side of mathematics, and so they can't automatically connect all of the bits that they have learned previously with the same thing that they're learning today. And so it is a lot of repetition and rote learning so that they start putting together all of the bits so that they can learn the next step. And that's not just for students that struggle with dyscalculia, it's for any students in any place who need to improve on their skill or understand a skill. It's the same thing. You know, a lot of students, even if they are not diagnosed with dyscalculia, even if they're not diagnosed with a specific learning difficulty in numeracy, even if they're not diagnosed as a learning difficulty, but they're just struggling a bit, that repetition and that ability to access information that they have learnt previously and pair that up with the new part of information that they have received and see the similarities between those two pieces of information, that all comes down to practice and repetition to be able to do that and then to be able to do it fluently. And the whole idea about building, you know, if we have a look and we have a think about it, if we're getting students to count on a page or with counters to begin with, and we want them to add three more in, then they might recognise that add, I just put three more in and I count how many altogether because I'm being told that. Now, the next time that they do it, if I'm now introducing what the plus symbol looks like, then they need to remember that add, when I add them together, then that's what the plus sign looks like, and now we have layers of meaning. And again, and I said this example before, but then if you're adding the word plus or addition onto the page, then they need to access the information they learnt originally where I'm physically touching something to add it together with the symbol, with the word. But if I can't access my memory or I struggle to be, like my working memory is not great, I'm really struggling to access the original information, then it's so much harder for those students. Anyway, so the whole purpose of this episode was just to get you to think about math and literacy and the correlation between the two, and that we do need to make sure that we're continually working closely with our students on literacy, the visual literacy, the written literacy, so that they can connect that with the skills involved in mathematics to help them with their confidence. Anyway, if you have enjoyed this episode, if you found it interesting, please let me know, pop a review, share it with your friends. If you have questions, send me an email, info@breakawaytuition.com.au. Otherwise, guys, I'll talk to you next week.